present Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison. Starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. California, 1939.
It was one of those mixed blocks over on Central Avenue. I'd just come out of a three-chair barber shop where an agency thought a relief barber named Demetrius Aliadis might be working. It was a small matter. His wife said she was willing to spend a little money to have him come home. I never found him, but Mrs. Aliadis never paid me any money either. Outside the barbershop, a man was standing looking up at the neon sign of a second-floor dine and dice emporium called Florian's. Slim, quiet Negroes passed up and down the street and stared at him. He was worth looking at. He was a big man, but not more than 6 feet 5 inches tall and not wider than a beer truck. He wore a Borsellino hat, a rough gray sports coat with white golf balls for buttons, a brown shirt, a yellow tie and show handkerchief. There were a couple of colored feathers tucked into the band of his hat, but he didn't really need them. Even on Central Avenue, he looked about as inconspicuous as a tarantula on a slice of angel food. He moved across to the double swing doors which shut off the stairs to the second floor and pushed inside. The doors swung back outward and almost settled to a stop. Then they opened again, violently. Something sailed across the sidewalk and landed in the gutter. It made a high, keening noise like a cornered rat. It wasn't any of my business. So I walked over to the double doors. A hand I could have sat in came out of the dimness and took hold of my shoulder.
Talk to me. There are smokes in here, huh? Tie that for me, pal.
It's a Negro place. What did you expect?
Don't say that, pal. Velma used to work here. Well, Velma, I ain't seen her in 8 years. You say this here is a smokes joint?
Yeah.
He let go of my shoulder. The bone didn't seem to be broken.
I'm feeling good. I wouldn't want anybody to fuss with me. Let you and me go on up and maybe nibble a couple.
They won't serve you.
I ain't seen Velma in 8 years. 8 long years since I said goodbye. She ain't wrote to me in 6, but she'll have a reason. Let you and me go on up, huh?
All right. Just lay off carrying me, huh? Let me walk. I'm all grown up. I go to the bathroom alone and everything. Just don't carry me.
Little Velma used to work here.
No white folks, brother. Just for the colored people, I'm sorry.
Where's Velma at?
No Velma here, brother. No hoosh, no gals, no nothing. Just for the scram, white boy, just for the scram.
But Velma used to work here.
Sure, Velma used to work here. She don't work here no more. She done retired. Oh, yeah.
Some guys has got wrong ideas about when to get tough. Let you and me nibble one. A whiskey sour. Call yours.
Whiskey sour?
Yes, sir. Coming up, sir.
You know where Velma is?
I ain't seen it.
Well, how long you been here?
Okay, 10 months.
Well, how long's this coop been a smokes joint?
5 years, anyway. Nobody here would know anything about a white girl.
Who the hell asked you to stick your face in?
Hey, I'm the fellow that came in with you, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. Hey, 2 more whiskey sour.
Sure.
Shake them fleas out of your pants.
Sure, sure thing.
There was a little stage and a band. Velma did some warbling.
A redhead she was. She was cute as lace pants. We was to have been married when they hung the frame on me.
What frame?
With the great band Bank Job. Malloy is the name. They call me Moose Malloy. On account of unlodge. Where'd you figure I'd been them 8 years?
Catching butterflies?
$40,000.
Solo job. Ain't that something?
Well, you're going to spend it now you're out, huh?
Where's the boss man? He might know about my little Velma.
Oh, he's got his office through that door.
Well, two more the same. I'll be back to play some music like old times.
Now, don't reach for it. What have you got down there behind the bar?
I got me a slide-off shotgun.
Hey, that's illegal. Now, listen. You and I are together.
I thought you was with him.
I never saw him before. He asked me up here. I didn't feel like being thrown over any houses.
Jeez.
What?
Don't nobody try the fancy pants. Freeze the mitts on the bar. The boss didn't know where Velma was, neither. He tried to tell me with this .45. So long, punks. I gotta catch a streetcar.
You didn't pay for the drinks.
Well, maybe you got something there, but I wouldn't squeeze it too hard.
Smokes. Another smoke killing. No picks, no space, not even four lines in the want ad section. After 18 years in this man's police department, that's what I rate. Philip Marlowe, private investigator. One of those guys, huh? What was you doing all that time?
All what time?
All the time Malloy was twisting the neck of this smoke.
That happened in another room. And Malloy hadn't promised me he was going to break anybody's neck.
Oh, ride me. Okay, go ahead and ride me. Everybody else does. Don't you pack no rod?
Not on the kind of job I was on. He just picked me up. I'm kind of cute sometimes.
You seem to pick up awful easy.
I've seen the guy, and you haven't, Nulty. He could wear us for a watch charm. Oh, you'll get him all right. With that size and the clothes.
Whoa, I'll get him. About the time I get my third set of teeth, it's a smoke killing. They got the call out on him now, probably at the end of the hot car list. Yeah, ain't nothing to do but just wait.
Well, try looking for the girl.
Well, you try her. I ain't been in a joy house for 20 years.
Okay.
I was only kidding. Hey, wait a minute. You might pick something up. You can work under glass.
Well, what's in it for me?
You've been in jams with us boys before. Next time, it ain't doing you any harm to have a pal.
Is this for love, Nulty? Or are you paying anything in money?
I'm needing a little credit bad myself. I wouldn't forget it, pal.
Nothing made it my business except curiosity. But strictly speaking, I hadn't any business in a month. I bought a pint of bourbon and walked across Central to the Hotel Sans Souci. The clerk seemed to be peacefully asleep.
Can I help you, sir?
Well, I'll call your plane. I'll read you a chapter of the Bible or buy you a drink.
Brother, I kind of like to read the Bible in the seclusion of my family. But I is pleased to take a nice snifter in your company. Yes, sir. This liquor comes out of the correct bottle. In what manner can I be of service to you?
When Florian's was a white joint, what was its name?
Electric Science come kind of dear, brother.
Now, who ran it?
Poor sinner named Mike Florian.
Now, what happened to him?
Gathered to the Lord 1934. Wasted life, brother. Case of pickle kidneys. But mercy waits for him up yonder. Damned if I know why.
Have another drink.
Your method of approach is soothing to a man's dignity.
together.
Left a widow. Name of Jesse.
Oh, where is she?
Try the phone book, brother. Try the phone book.
Mrs. Florian? Mrs. Jesse Florian?
What do you want?
I want to ask you about your husband.
He's been dead 5 years. Who did you say he was?
I'm a detective. I'd like a little information.
Ain't had time to get cleaned up yet. Come on. Through here. The radio's all the company I got.
Is that the newest model? Expensive. Loud.
The way I like it. Mike ain't done nothing new, has he? A joke, that was. I hope there's enough cheap buns where he is. He never got enough of them here.
I was thinking more of a redhead. A girl named Velma. I'm trying to trace her for her folks.
Her folks taking their time getting round to it.
Now, there's a little money involved. Money sharpens the memory.
So does liquor.
Oh, would you care for some bourbon, Mrs. Florian?
You ain't no copper. No copper ever bought that stuff. What's the gag, mister?
This Velma was a singer. You wouldn't know her?
Man, that is liquor. Just pour again, careful, mister. This ain't no time to drop nothing. Now, what was we talking about?
Velma.
I remember her. Nice legs. And generous with them. I should not a barber with you, but a guy that buys me a drink is a pal. Hold on to your chair and don't step on no snakes. A joke that was, old boy. Here. Now, look them over. All them entertainers had display photos. They're all the bastard left me.
I wouldn't know any of these.
Ain't you got a photo of her from her folks?
No.
I ain't beginning to like you again. Hey, leave that alone.
Sit down. You're not dealing with a lug like Moose Malloy this time.
The Moose? What about him?
He's loose. Out of jail. He killed a man over on Central this morning. He's looking for the fink that turned him in 8 years ago. Ah, this is it. Velma Valento. Now, why hide this photo?
She's dead. Now, beat it.
That still doesn't say why you hid it.
I am a poor, sick old woman. Now, you get away from me, you son of a bitch.
Help yourself to the whiskey, Mrs. Florian.
When I came out onto West 54th Place, a window curtain moved in the next house. Old Nosy, checking up on the neighbors. There's always at least one to a block. I waved a hand at her. I was a swell guy. I enjoyed being me. I liked getting old women drunk. You find almost anything under your hand in my business, but I was beginning to be a little sick to my stomach. I went back to the office. Marlowe.
You are Philip Marlowe, a private detective.
Check.
You have been recommended to me as a man who can be trusted to keep his mouth shut. I should like you to come to my house at 7 o'clock this evening. We can discuss a matter. My name is Lindsay Marriott.
Uh-huh.
Are you particular about the nature of the employment?
Not as long as it's legitimate.
I should not have called you if it were not.
A Harvard boy. Nice use of the subjunctive mood. The end of my foot itched, but my bank account was still trying to crawl under a duck. On my way, I bought an evening paper.
Nulty was right. The killing hadn't even made the want ad section.
Yes? What is it?
7 o'clock, on the dot.
Oh, yes. Let me see. Your name is...
Philip Marlowe. The same as it was this afternoon.
Yes. Come in, Marlowe.
Thank you.
What I wish to see you about is a very slight matter. I am meeting a couple of men tonight and paying them some money. Do you carry a gun?
At times.
Well, I shan't want you to carry that.
I hardly ever shoot anybody.
I'm meeting these men in a rather lonely place. I don't know where yet. I expect a call tonight.
You've been making this deal some time?
3 or 4 days.
You left your bodyguard problem until pretty late. This a matter of blackmail?
Certainly not. I'm acting for a friend.
Okay. How much money and what for?
$100 for a few hours of your time. Some jewels were taken from a friend of mine in a holdup, and I'm buying them back. Have you ever heard of Face Weed Jade?
No.
Well, it's the only really valuable kind. A friend of mine owns a necklace worth $80,000 or $90,000. I'd driven my friend to an evening party, and we were on our way back to her home. A car brushed the left front fender and stopped, as I thought, to apologize. Instead, it was a very quick and very neat holdup. 3 or 4 men. They only took certain items and said to wait for a phone call before reporting to the police or the insurance company. Well, there's plenty of that sort of thing going on. Mm-hmm. If they happen to be rare pieces, you'd rather pay the ransom. Well, she shouldn't have worn it out, ever. But she's a reckless sort of woman.
How much ransom?
$8,000.
I ought to walk away from this job, Marriott. If the boys want to play ball, you don't need me. If they don't, I can't do anything about it.
All I want is your company. I'm not much of a hero.
All I want is $100. I like to feel money.
Excuse me. Marriott. Yes. So where should we meet?
These lights are off to the right of the Belvedere Beach Club. When you get to the top of the hill, turn left.
You stay down in the back. From a distance, we might look alike. If anybody gets conked, it might as well be me.
That's Purissima Canyon. Oh, it's a bad road.
Yeah. Any people around here?
No. Now, when you reach the end, there's a park walled off from the road by a white fence. But there should be room to squeeze by. There's a hollow there. Oh, there's the fence.
Keep your head down.
Oh, the car's too wide. You won't get past the fence.
Stay down. I'm going down to have a look-see. Afterwards, I thought I might have heard the swish of a sap. Maybe you always think that. Afterwards, I felt like an amputated leg. It was 10:56, and we got there 10:35. Give me a minute to fall down and hit the ground with my face. 10:56. I've been out for 20 minutes. Okay, 21. I was caught square in the lights.
All right, you. Come out of there with your hands up and very damned empty. You're covered.
Put it up or I'll blow it out of your hand.
Oh, a hard-boiled gentleman. Listen, stranger, I'm holding a 10-shot automatic. What do you bid?
I talk too much, but I'm scared, too.
Don't move. Who are you?
Let's see your gun.
Oh, you stay right there.
Oh, that's a toy. It doesn't either hold 10 shots. That's a butterfly gun. Shame on you for telling a deliberate lie like that.
Are you crazy?
I've been sapped. I might be a little goofy.
Is that your car?
Who are you?
I get it. You ask the answers. He-Man stuff. Look, I'm going to point my flashlight over there. I want to show you something.
Mary.
Don't move.
He might not be dead.
Oh, he is, with his brains on his face. I saw him in the headlights as I came round. What's the story, mister?
Hold the flash on him.
Oh, you shouldn't touch him till the police come.
That's liable to be a couple of hours out here. My name is Marlowe. I'm a private investigator.
All right. I suppose you're always right. I guess you must be that kind of person. Didn't you know him?
No. When he met him tonight, he hired me for a bodyguard.
Some bodyguard. Hey, what's that?
Some kind of fancy cigarettes in a case.
Oh, do you suppose those could be jujus? I knew a guy once who smoked jujus. 3 highballs and 3 sticks of tea, and it took a pipe wrench to get him off the chandelier.
High-class boys. They only took the large money off him. What's your name?
Reardon. Ann Reardon. And don't call me Annie.
What are you doing around here?
Sometimes at night I go driving. Just restless. I live alone.
You take some awful chances, Miss Reardon.
I had a gun. I wasn't afraid.
Sure.
My father was a cop. I write a little. Newspapers.
Any money in it?
Very damn little.
Well, now I have to go to the cops and eat dirt. Would you take me to my car?
I'll take you to the cops.
No. I'll play it along.
My story might help you.
No.
Why not?
I just feel it that way. I'll play it solo.
He was a quiet man with cold eyes. His name was Randall, and he was from Central Homicide in Los Angeles. He wasn't happy with me or my story. He gave me 24 hours to come up with a better one. He particularly didn't like the fact that I had searched the body. I particularly didn't like the fact that the cigarette case with the fancy cigarettes was empty when he showed it to me. I was on my 4th cup of coffee in the morning when Nulty came to call.
You look as green as a new dollar bill.
Did you get Malloy?
He went to see that Florian woman. We got a call from some old window peeker. He is in about 5 minutes, and when he comes out, he has a big gat in his hand. That's why she calls. She don't hear no shots, though.
That must have been a big disappointment for her.
Yeah, a nifty. The prowl boys go down there, nobody's home. Then an hour later, the old lady calls again and says Mrs. Florian came home.
I'm glad to hear it.
You got along pretty good with that Florian dame, getting the picture from her and all. Maybe if you...
I have a headache.
Okay, pal. If that's the way you feel about it...
I don't feel any way about it. I just don't have any time to stooge for any cops.
Things is tough. I need a break, pal.
You're not alone. The moose is loose, Nulty. Go find him.
She was waiting for me in the little reception room I leave unlocked, in case a client wants to wait. Her hair in daylight was pure auburn, and she wore a hat with a crown the size of a whiskey glass and a brim you could have wrapped a week's laundry in. It was a nice face, a face you could get to like. Pretty, but not so pretty that you would have to wear brass knuckles every time you took it out.
Have a chair, Miss Reardon.
Thanks. How's your head?
Poorly.
Were the police nice to you?
About the way they always are.
And why did you cover up for me? Was it on account of my reddish hair and my beautiful figure? He didn't offer me one.
Oh, sorry. It's only 11 o'clock. I didn't think you looked the type.
Is that a compliment?
In my circle, yes.
I better give you my information and go home. Would you like to know who that jade necklace belonged to?
I didn't say anything to you about a jade necklace.
No, I know. I'm just a damned inquisitive wench. I went to see Lieutenant Randall this morning.
Somebody ought to sew buttons on his face.
Then it occurred to me that a necklace like that would be a museum piece and would be well known. So I went to Block's, the jeweler's, and told the manager I was a writer and wanted to do a magazine article.
So he believed your red hair and your beautiful figure.
Well, he told me anyway. It belongs to Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail. Her husband is an investment banker or something, worth about $20 million. He used to own a radio station in Beverly Hills, and Mrs. Grail used to work there. He married her 5 years ago. She's a ravishing blonde. He stays at home and takes Calomel, while Mrs. Grail goes places and has a good time. I got all that from Giddy Gertie Arbogast.
Of course.
Giddy Gertie is the society editor of the Chronicle. I've known him for years. Say, you wouldn't want to hire an assistant, would you? Not if it only cost you a kind word now and then.
No.
I thought probably you wouldn't.
I haven't had any breakfast.
I thought you drank it. You're not going to turn into one of those drunken detectives, are you?
Why not? They always solve their cases, and they never even sweat. Let's go down to the corner and eat.
Anyway, I called up Mrs. Grail and gave her the song and dance I'd given the nice man at Block's. It didn't take. She sounded as if she had a hangover. And then I asked if I might see the necklace. She said, what for? And then I said I was working for Philip Marlowe. She said, so what? Just like that.
Incredible.
So then I had to tell her the story. She didn't like it. But she'd been wondering why she hadn't heard from Marriott. So I'm to see her at 2 o'clock today. Well, then I'll tell her all about you and how nice and discreet you are and how you'd be a good man to help her get it back.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter? Did I do right?
This is a police case. I've been warned to stay off it.
Well, Mrs. Grail has a perfect right to employ you if she wants to.
Well, if it comes from her, Randall can't stop me.
Good. I'll go and get some more dope on the Grails about her love life. Oh, she would have one, wouldn't she?
Who hasn't?
I never have. Not really. I'll call you.
You've forgotten something.
What?
You know damn well what. 3 fancy cigarettes.
I know I shouldn't have taken them. Here.
Thanks. You ought to have taken the cigarette case, too. There was dust in it. They'll have it analyzed.
I thought it was kind of mean for the poor man to be found dead with marijuana cigarettes in his pocket. I shouldn't have done it. I'll see you later, Mr. Marlowe.
That was part one of Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Production for the BBC was by John Tiedemann.